Book of Acts, please, chapter 27. Your Schofield Bible, page 1186. Acts chapter 27, beginning with verse 21. We'll read responsively through verse 25, page 1186. Let's stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am, and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Let's read the 25th together, please. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Let's pray. Thanks, Lord, for your word. Now we know it's a two-edged sword. We pray that even as you wield the sword tonight, that it would do its work as thou wouldst be pleased to do. We pray that you'd give us attentiveness, receptive hearts, alert minds, and bless with power thy strength, our preacher. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want to read just a verse for you. You don't need to turn to it. Well, I think I'll ask you to, because I want you to read with me a little bit tonight during the sermon, Acts 27, where we were a while ago. I want to read verses 23 and 24 with you or to you as you follow along, verses 23 and 24 of Acts 27. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul. Here's the title of my sermon tonight. Thou must be brought before Caesar. Thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. I wish I had time tonight to read for you all of the 27th and 28th chapters of the book of Acts to show you the amazing story of Paul getting to Caesar. Paul was in Canaan, and he was promised by God that he would get to go to Rome, and Caesar thought he was bringing Paul to Rome to try him, but God was giving Paul a free ticket to Rome on a boat to get him there to get the gospel out. I'll never forget when Dr. Vance Havner said one time he was late, several hours late, going to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania to preach. The train was late back in the days before we had airplanes and traveled much by air. And he said he realized he's going to be a few hours late for a speaking engagement. And all of a sudden they were in some state out west, and a conductor came through and said, Secretary of War Patterson is on this train. We're not going to stop anymore. No more stops. We've got to get Secretary of War Patterson to Pittsburgh. And so Vance Havner said he sat up there like a little child at Christmas morning. There's poor, ignorant train people thought they were getting Secretary of War Patterson there, and they were getting a Baptist preacher there in time to preach in the service. And so is the case. The Apostle Paul, Caesar thought, and the magistrates thought that they had Paul in bondage. Truth is, he had them in bondage. He was going there to preach, and that was the purpose of it all. I want to speak tonight on the subject, Thou Must Stand Before Caesar, or How to Finish What You Start. Our Heavenly Father, bless the message tonight to our hearts. Please help me. Give me strength, alertness, awareness, and power. In Jesus' name, amen. I guess the hardest thing that I have to comprehend is people starting stuff they don't finish. That's the hardest thing in the world for me to understand. I can't understand how anybody can go to bed at night after having been a quitter and turning back and not finishing what you start. I also would say this. I do not know of anything any more rewarding than to finish what you start. I mean, brother, when you say I stayed in there. Dr. Lee Robertson said something, gave me, I think, maybe one of the biggest compliments I've ever had is years ago. Dr. Robertson occasionally calls me Jack. And, of course, he's much older than I am. He knew me when I was just a boy in my 20s, a kid preacher. And occasionally he calls me Jack. And somebody told him years ago I was going through some battles. In fact, when I first came here, and we were going through that big battle when I first came here, somebody said, pray for Dr. Hiles. And Dr. Robertson said, no need for that. No need for that. Jack's a survivor. Jack's a survivor. That one little statement, Jack's a survivor, to me is one of the greatest compliments I've ever heard in my life. And now don't you ever go around, I can see it now, buttons, Jack's a survivor, Jack's a survivor. You students do that, and you won't be a survivor, I'll tell you for sure. But I don't comprehend folks that don't want to survive, folks that don't want to make it. That's beyond my comprehension, beyond my understanding. And again I say, I do not know of anything any more wonderful or any more rewarding than to say I was in a battle and I stuck with it. I had problems and I toughed it out. You're not going to be proud of yourself, you folks that turn back. You're not going to like yourself. You're not going to like what you see in yourself when you turn back. Now tonight, here's the Apostle Paul on his way to Rome. Unbelievable circumstances. And I want you to notice what happened and how he finished. In the first place, and this is interesting, in the first place, start. This is a great statement. You can't finish if you don't start. Boy, that's worth your coming for tonight. You can't finish. But you know what? Most folks don't finish because they never start anything. I mean, they just never launch out. Never risk anything. Never take a chance. Never start anything. First thing is start. Look at chapter 27 and verse 2. Keep your Bibles open there. Chapter 27 and verse 2. And entering into a ship of Jones, it just I wouldn't read that verse if I'd known that was there. Adramidium. Anyway, entering into a ship, certain ship. That in the Greek, it means Jones. We launched. I like those two words, we launched. All across America, I meet young people say, I'm coming to Howells Anderson College when I can afford it. No, they will never be here. No, we launched. We launched. Get started. Get started. I'm gonna do it someday. No, you won't. You'll do it today or you won't do it at all. Nothing's ever done tomorrow. Get started. What you're supposed to do, start on it. And said, we launched. All right? Now, the second thing is this. Expect trouble immediately. Look at verse number 4 of the same chapter. And when we had launched from thence, we sailed under Cyprus because the winds were contrary. Now, you listen to me. As soon as you launch something, you can expect problems and you can expect trouble. When you start teaching a Sunday school class, mark it down. Anything you start for God, the devil's not going to be in a good humor about that. And he's going to cause you to have some problems. And God may cause you to have some problems or allow them because God wants to see what you're made out of. So, expect, as soon as you start, expect trouble immediately. It said, when we launched. Didn't say, before we launched, the winds were contrary. It said, when we launched, the winds were contrary. When you start soul winning, expect the devil to cause some problems. When you start to college, you expect the devil to cause some problems. When you start pastoring a church or start a church, you expect the devil to start some problems. I want to tell you something. If you've never had the devil to cause you a trouble, you've never lost anything. The devil, as soon
As we launched, the winds were contrary. People oftentimes say, well, I did thus and so, and I stepped out on faith to do something for God, and all I've had is trouble. I guess God was not in it. Now, you listen to me. God is more likely in it because you had trouble than if you did not have trouble. Because when we launched, the winds were contrary. When we launched, the winds of enemies were contrary. When we launched, the winds of adversity were contrary. When we launched, the winds of gossip were contrary. When we launched, the winds of poverty were contrary. When we launched, the winds of sickness were contrary. When we launched, winds of adversity were contrary. I'm simply saying, if you never do anything for God, you may never have any troubles, but if you ever do anything for God, you're going to have some adversity. Brother, I'd rather have the adversity and do something for God than sail through life and do nothing. A life of ease, eat, drink, and be merry and do nothing. Brother, you give me the winds that are contrary. You give me the adversity. You give me the battles. Why? I don't want to live and die and not do anything for my God. If you want to finish, you start. Number two, you expect trouble immediately. Number three, believe God. Believe God. Look at verse number 21, please, again. Verse number 21. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them. By the way, now they're in an awful storm here. And said, sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me. Boy, I like that. Paul said, listen to me. I like that. Boy, I hate some preacher that say, well, Dr. So-and-so says, well, I won't know what you say. Listen to me. Paul said, you should have hearkened to me. You should listen to me. And by the way, you should listen to me, too. But anyway, said, sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. And now, I love this, right in the middle of the storm, everybody's scared to death, good night, the boat shaking, they're hanging on for dear life. And Paul said, I exhort you, be of good cheer. What do you mean, be of good cheer? Always be of good cheer. Good night, you're a child of God. Storm or calm, be of good cheer. Down or up, be of good cheer. Rich or poor, be of good cheer. Alone or in fellowship, be of good cheer. I walk with the King, hallelujah. I walk with the King, praise His name. I no longer own my soul, faces home. I walk and I talk with the King. I'm a child of the King. Why should I be discouraged and why should I be blue? Be of good cheer. Child of God can always be of good cheer. So Paul says, be of good cheer. I expect somebody said, well, we got to be of good cheer about. Because, well, I'll show you what. I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. He said, the ship's going down, but you're not going down. Look at this. Saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. Oh, I'm sorry, verse 23. For there stood by me this night the angel of the God, and the angel of God, by the way, is Jesus, the messenger of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God. Paul said, we're going to get there. Now, the first thing you do to get there and finish is you start, you launch. And the second thing you do is you expect trouble immediately. And the third thing you do, you believe God. Boy, I love that. Paul said, do your worst, old storm. I believe God. Roll your highest waves, old storm. I believe God. Blow your hardest wind, old storm. I believe God. Hide your face, sun, moon, and stars, but I believe God. Give up if you want to, soldiers. Give up if you want to, mariners. Give up if you want to, sailors. But as far as I'm concerned, God said, I'm going to stand before Caesar. And you mark it down, I am going to stand before Caesar because God said I'm going to get to Rome. So I am going to get to Rome. And God told me, you can get to Rome also. And I believe God. He did not believe the experts. He believed God. He did not believe the soldiers. He believed God. He didn't even believe common sense. He believed God. The ship is tossing like an eggshell. But he believed God. The water is coming in on the deck, but he believed God. Paul is clinging to the rigging of the ship, but he believed God. Humanly speaking, it was impossible, but bless God, it doesn't have to be impossible with God if it's impossible, humanly speaking. I believe God, he said. I am going to finish. Listen to me. There's not a single person in this room. But when you start something for God, you can finish it if you want to. Now the storm's going to come, and the sea's going to roll, and the waves are going to come high, and the ship's going to toss. But what God starts, He finishes. Paul said, I believe God. I believe God, he said. So do I. I believe God when he said that sin is wrong. I believe God when he said abortion is wrong. I believe God when he said drinking is wrong. I believe God when he said women ought to wear modest clothes. I believe God when he said women ought to dress like women and men ought to dress like men. I believe God when he said that men ought not to have short hair, and it's a shame, a long hair, it's a shame if they do. I believe God. I believe every word in this book is the word of God. I think every word in that book I hold right there, I mean that very book right there, the old King James Bible, I believe that every word has been preserved for me, and what we need today is a generation of young preachers to cover this country who believe God. I believe God. I believe God when he said there's a heaven that has golden streets and gates of pearl. I believe God when he said there's a hell that has fire. I believe God when he said that hell, that fire in hell, you'll burn forever and ever. I believe God when he says that people who are unsaved will burn in the fires of hell forever and ever and ever in the torments of the damned. I believe God. I believe God when he said Jesus is coming again. I believe God when he said the dead in Christ shall rise. I believe God when he says the whole earth will rock and reel in the tribulation period. I believe God when he talks about the judgment seat of Christ, when all Christians shall receive rewards for the labor done in the body. I believe God when it talks about the coming of Christ to the earth again. I believe God when it says that Jesus shall reign on the throne in Jerusalem. I believe God when it says that we shall rule and reign with him for 1,000 blessed years. I believe God when he says, then we'll have the great white throne judgment, and the holy city cult shall come down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband. Let me tell you, I believe God. I believe every miracle of the Bible. Every miracle, if God said it, I believe it. I know preachers that doubt the story about Jonah and the whale, but I believe every word of it, brother. Now, some of you don't. How many of you absolutely believe at the bottom of your soul that Jonah swallowed the whale? Raise your hand, would you please, way up high. Jonah did not swallow the whale. The whale swallowed Jonah. But if God had said that Jonah swallowed the whale, as far as I'm concerned, Jonah swallowed the whale. I'm tired of theologians and Bible colleges and Bible institutes taking away the miracles of the Word of God. I believe God. I believe God. Here's the ship is tossing and turning, and the storm is raging, and the billows are rolling, and the sailors are holding on to the sides of the boat, and Paul's holding on to the rigging, and they cry aloud and beg for mercy. And Paul said, don't be worried. God said, I shall stand before Caesar. And stand before Caesar I will. A man was noted for his great faith. Somebody asked him one time, said, are you the man with great faith? He said, no, I'm the man with a little faith in a great God. I believe God. The sailors trusted their ability. The soldiers trusted the sailors. The sailors trusted the captain. The captain trusted the pilot. The pilot trusted the compass. They all trusted the ship. The ship trusted the anchor. The anchor failed. Paul trusted in God and said, he'll get me there. I believe God. There are more attacks today. The battle today is strange. The battle today is the Word of God. In the Southern Baptist Convention, for example, the battle is the Word of God. About half of the Southern Baptist Convention delegates believe that in the verbal inspiration of the Bible, and the other half don't. But even the half that do don't believe it right. They believe in the verbal inspiration of the originals. It so happens that I don't know where you can buy a copy of that. But I know where you can buy a copy of that. I believe God. I believe every word in this book from Genesis to Revelation contained the very words of God. I believe God. And Paul said, he said, okay, I've got to go to Rome. I don't have any money to get there. I have no way to get there. I have no airplane. I have no boat. I have no ship. They took Paul as a prisoner and put him on that ship and took him to Caesar to appeal to Caesar. And Paul was on his way to stand before Caesar. God had said, Paul, you will stand before Caesar. If a storm comes, you will stand before Caesar. Boy, I like Paul. Paul said, I'm going to finish what I start. I'm going to finish what I start. He said, first place, I'm going to start. He said, in the second place, I'm expecting trouble immediately. And in the third place, he said, I believe God. Boy, I tell you what. I don't know how some of you guys can shave yourselves. You that turn back. I don't know how some of you want women can marry some of these guys. Just because they wear pants. Just because they got a beard, or grow a beard and shave, doesn't make them a man. Tell you what makes a man. Makes a man, if a guy says bye cracky, he don't even have to say bye cracky. He can say hot dog if he wants to. He can say whoopee. But he says bye cracky, you're looking at a guy that will not stop. You're looking at a guy that won't quit. You're looking at a guy that's going to get to Rome. I don't care what's going to happen. I don't care if one time a serpent came and hung on Paul's hand. Paul said, I'm going to Rome. But Paul, that's a deadly serpent. I'm going to Rome. But Paul, the ship is sinking. I'm going to Rome. But Paul, well, you and me, my friend, I'm going to Rome. I'm going to Rome. Why? I believe God. That's why I believe God. There's a fourth thing. Everybody does that finishes. First, you get started. Second, you can expect trouble immediately. Third, believe God. Fourth, realize you are God's. Look at it. In verse number 23. For there stood by me this night the angel of God whose I am. Paul said, I'm not my own. I'm his. Jesus stood beside Paul, and Paul said, whose I am. You really don't have a choice in the matter whether to keep going or turn back. Because you're not your own. You have no choice. You take your life, and what you do when you start something and you turn back, what you do is you take your life in your own hands and say, God, let me have the stern, the wheel of the ship. Let me control my own life. I know what to do. I know what's best for me. This is what I want. Let me tell you something. You're not going to amount to a hill of beans for God till you quit deciding what you want to do and you start deciding what He wants you to do. I want to do my own thing. You have no right to do your own thing. You're His. I said you're His. You belong to Him. God owns you. The shipping company owned the vessel. The captain owned the sailors. The government owned the soldiers. The soldiers owned the prisoners. And God owned Paul. Seven times a day, I say to God, I yield myself to you, Holy Spirit. That's 49 times a week I pray that prayer, at least, and sometimes more. Holy Spirit, I yield myself to you. I'm not mine. I'm yours. 49 times a week. 210 times a month. 2,548 times a year. I yield myself to Him. These hands are not mine. They're His. This tongue is not mine. It's His. These eyes are not mine. They're His. These arms are not mine. They're His. This mind is not mine. It's His. These ears are not mine. They're His. These feet and legs are not mine. They're His. Now the stomach is mine. But I'm not my own. I belong to Him. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. I'm not my own, and you're not your own. And by the way, you don't know better how to run your life than He does. I haven't used this in a long time. Years ago, back in the early days of the automobile, old Mr. Henry Ford was driving toward Detroit, Michigan. Mr. Henry Ford saw a Ford car stop beside the road. Wouldn't run. Ford cars from that day to this won't run. But he stopped. And he, Mr. Henry Ford now, get Mr. Henry Ford, the manufacturer of Ford cars, back years and years ago, he said, "Young man, can I help you?" The young man looked at him and said, "What can an old man like you do to help me?" He said, "Young man, I believe I could help you." He said, "I said, what can old man, leave me alone. I'm trying to fix a car. An old man like you wouldn't know anything about a car." And Henry Ford got in his car and drove off. What that young man did not know is that he had turned down the maker of that car. And nobody knows how to repair something like its maker does. And nobody knows what you need like your maker does. And nobody knows what you ought to do like your maker does. It's time some of you young folks decided to quit having your dreams of making money and having a nice big house somewhere. Let God take care of that. If God wants you to have a big house, have one. God wants you to live in a tent. Live in a tent. You're not yours. You're His. He was God's. Not only that, Paul going to Rome. How do you finish what you start? First, you start. Second, you expect trouble immediately. Third, you believe God. I believe this. I believe that if I let God have my life, which is His anyway, if I give Him my hands and my feet and my body and my mind and my heart and my soul, and my tongue and my ears and my eyes, I believe God can see me through to the finish. Paul got to the finish line. He said, "I finished the course." "How'd you finish it, Paul?" "Well, 1 year I dropped out." "Hey, listen, you quitters. Hey, listen, you turncoats. Hey, back in the back of the balcony, listen to me, you Benedict Arnolds. Listen to me, Demas. Listen to me, turncoat, quitter, yellow spine. Listen to me. Paul didn't say, 'I finished the course,' by saying, 'I dropped out.' He said, 'I stayed on the course and I finished the course.'" Paul said, not only did he start, not only did he expect trouble immediately, not only did he believe God, not only did he realize he was God's, but number five, he was God's servant. Look, if you would please, at verse 23 again. Verse 23. "For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am, and whom I serve." You want to finish? Keep on serving. Quit thinking about yourself. "But I'm tired." Well, quit thinking about yourself. Walked out a while ago. Fellow walked behind me. Same one walked behind me this morning out the door. And I asked the question next time, and I went, he said, "That's the second time you've done that today." What he knows is that's the 50th time I've done that today. You know why? I'm tired. I've worked hard this week. I'm tired. My mind is tired. My body is tired. I'm tired, so I'm going to quit. That's your logic. Yeah. And if you look long enough, you can find some backslidden doctor to tell you to quit. Why don't you go to Dr. Jesus and see what He did? Said, "Whom I serve."
The vessel served the company. The sailor served the captain. The soldier served the government. The prisoner served the soldiers. And Paul served God. I said a while ago, I don't guess in all the 42 years of preaching I've ever felt like people expected more of me than one man's able to do than I feel right now. Everybody, nobody realizes. Folks say to me, well, sometimes a basketball player say, other preachers come to the basketball games. Ever dawn on you that maybe that's why they're preaching to 49 instead of 7,000? Ever dawn on you who built the gymnasium, Buster? Ever dawn on you who bought the uniforms? That money out of that pocket bought your uniforms, basketball players. Ever dawn on you? Ever dawn on you who keeps the school open? Ever dawn on you who stays awake day and night trying to keep everything going? Ever dawn on you that? I'm saying I am going to serve God. I may not do all that you want me to do, but bless God, I can give Him all I've got, and all I have is His. Everything I have belongs to Him. Everything I have is His. Everything I own belongs to Him. I'm not going to hold anything back, and that's why I don't quit. Whom I serve. Whom I serve. Whom I serve. Paul said, I'm going to Rome. Not only has God told me I'm going to get to Rome, but you guys can quit worrying too, because God told me you're going to get to Rome too. One guy's hanging on to the mast of the ship. One guy's hanging on to the side of the ship. About to fall in, fall over, fall out, fall over, fall under, I don't know, fall. He's hanging on. Oh, Paul's hanging on to the rigging of the ship. Storm is blowing. No place to go. No lifeboats. We're dying, they said. He said, we're not going to die. Not going to die. Well, we got other ship coming. Paul said, don't know what's going to happen. Just know we're going to make it wrong. I'm not going to quit, Paul said. Whom I serve. How do you finish? The first place you start. Start it! Second place, you can expect trouble immediately. But you don't stop because you got trouble. In the third place, you believe God. In the God did say, didn't He, that which He started, He finished. He that has begun a good work will finish it on the day of redemption. God did say that, didn't He? Now, He didn't say He would finish it with you in luxury. You may be gulping water, hanging on to the side of the ship sometime, but you'll get to Rome. You may sometime not feel good, but you'll get to Rome. You may sometime get tired, but you'll get to Rome. You may sometime get discouraged, but you'll get to Rome. You don't have to turn back. You can keep on going because God said, I am going to see to it that you stand before Caesar. What else? Realize that God stands by you. Look at those verses again. Verse number 23. Verse 22. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God. Paul said Jesus came made a house call. He stood by me. I like that. He didn't say Jesus stood by me 14 years ago and told me He'd be with me. He said, Jesus stood by me this night. He said, tonight, Jesus came and said, fear not, thou must be brought before Caesar. I tell you a problem. You don't realize that Jesus will stand beside you if you don't quit. Follow me carefully. Jesus doesn't make the trip home with you. No. Jesus doesn't make the trip going backwards with you. If those Jews that crossed the Red Sea on dry ground had decided to go back to Egypt, they'd all drowned in the Red Sea. God never parts a Red Sea if anybody going backwards. He said, there stood by me this night the angel of God. Jesus came and stood by me. Stephen, preaching. A deacon, by the way, preaching. You ought to have more sense than that, Stephen. Deacon, not supposed to preach. He's supposed to tell the preacher what to preach. Preaching. All of a sudden, they pick up their stones and hurl their stones at Stephen. And Stephen suddenly realizes that he's leaving this life. He looked up and saw Jesus standing by him. Jesus always stands beside those that don't quit. He always stands beside those that go forward. Joshua, at the door of the promised land, tomorrow, they try to start the battle to conquer the land. He's lonely. He's always been Paul's assistant. I'm sorry, Moses' assistant. I don't know, maybe it's Charles Spurgeon's assistant. I don't know. John Rice's assistant. Come to think of it, I think he was my assistant. But anyway, he'd always been Moses' assistant. He'd never been the man in charge. Now all of a sudden, Moses is gone. Goes up to Mount Nebo. Looks at the promised land, but doesn't get to go in because they disobeyed God. Now Joshua, the captain, is supposed to lead those people in. By the way, to finish what they started. But follow me carefully. They came in 40 years after they should have come in. Because 40 years before, listen to me, 40 years before, they came to Kadesh Barnea and refused to finish. I'd hate to finish something 40 years after I started it. Or 10 years. I want to finish it. I want to be going towards it all the time. Joshua, lonely. Afraid. The battles ahead of him, innumerable. A whole land to conquer. Giants in the land. Anakites. Philistines. All kinds of giants in the land. The night before, Joshua said, I'm going to do it. But I'm scared. He looked up and he saw somebody beside him. Jesus had tiptoed out of heaven that night to take a midnight walk. And walked up to his servant Joshua and said, Joshua, you're going forward, aren't you? And Joshua said, yes. And Jesus said, I'll be with you, Joshua. I'll be with you. There stood by me this night the angel of the Lord. The Hebrew children said, we're not going to bow down and worship that doll. I'm going to do it. King said, we'll turn the thermostat up 7 times 7. Go ahead and do it. They cast those Hebrew children in the fire furnace, and Jesus said, I guess I better go down and take care of a little business here. There stood by them in the fire furnace, Jesus. Their fire furnaces today, brother, if you won't jump out of them, Jesus will be there. Their battles to fight today, if you won't turn back, Jesus will be there. Their sermons to preach and stonings today, but if you won't turn back, Jesus will be there. Paul, how'd you make it? In the first place, I started. Second place, I expected trouble when I started. He said, in the third place, I believe God. In the fourth place, I realize I belong to God. In the fifth place, I serve God. In the sixth place, Jesus came and stood by me. Number seven and last, he got there. He got there. A little wet. Smelled a lot like fish. But he got there. Can you imagine how he felt when he climbed up on the shores of Italy? Can you imagine how he felt when he walked and saw the sign that said, Rome, city limits? Hear me now. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. His grace hath led me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. Finish. Finish. Dr. Myron Cedarholm said this to me. I've related to you on occasion. He said, Dr. Hiles, ever dawn on you how few preachers start young and finish old? I got thinking about that. There are a lot of preachers that start middle age and stay faithful to the end. There are a lot of preachers that start young and change in middle years. But there are very few preachers that go out exactly as when they came in. Some quit. Some want to make money. Some want to change doctrine. Some want to quit soul winning. Some want to go to all kinds of what I call peacetime army. Not many preachers. Boy, when old Dr. Cederholm said that to me about 15 years ago, I said, with the grace of God, I didn't say it to him, but I said, with the grace of God, you're talking to a man right now. If he has the strength to breathe and an ounce to fight with, he's going to go out just like he came in. You check, you get my sermons I preached 35 years ago and check the one I preached last Sunday night or tonight, and you just check and see how close they are. Why? I'll tell you exactly why. Brother, I want to finish the course. I want to keep the faith. I want to fight the good fight. Don't turn back. Don't turn back. Stay in church. Get your feelings hurt. I got an idea Paul may have gotten his feelings hurt somewhere on that trip. Paul said, well, you just don't appreciate me. I'm going to walk back. Blub, 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 blub. Yeah, I've got my feelings hurt. Well, don't turn you back on God. But in the first place, don't get your stupid feelings hurt. Don't think about your feelings. Think about God's feelings. Don't think about your work. Think about His work. Don't think about yourself. Think about Him and others. Finish. 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 I think it's time for me to tell a little story I tell about once a year. I love it. One of my favorite stories. Napoleon never lost a battle. Never had lost a battle. Came to finally to one battle he was going to lose. He was losing it. For the first time in his life, he was tasting the awful, bitter taste of defeat. Napoleon said, I believe if I can pull my forces back a little bit and regroup, I believe we can win the battle. I'm going to have to retreat. He called his little bugler boy up, and he said to the little bugler, he said, son, blow a retreat. And the little bugler looked up at him and said, sir, I don't know how to blow a retreat. You never taught me how to blow a retreat. Napoleon said, I command you, blow a retreat! We've got to pull the men back and regroup or we'll all be killed. Little boy began to cry, and he said, sir, I would blow a retreat if I knew, but I don't know how to blow a retreat. Napoleon said, I command you, take that bugle up and blow a retreat. Little boy said, I'll try. Put the bugle to his lips, and try though he may, a retreat didn't come out, because he didn't know one. A charge came out. When the enemy heard that charge, they said, we better run. They must have some more forces coming in. They just blew a charge. When Napoleon's men heard that charge, they said, we must have some reinforcement behind us. Let's go get them. And Napoleon's army went to get them, and the enemy fled, and Napoleon won the battle. All because one little bugler boy never learned.